Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Welcome. This is a Doctor Is In episode. These episodes don't feature any special guests necessarily, but yours truly, answering questions either from listeners or the questions that have been submitted. And this one, this Doctor Is In episode, is kicking off a series. I teach a couple of non-music ed classes and non-music major classes at the university level, and they needed some bonus points. So I gave them a Flipgrid assignment and said, if you happened to know a music podcaster and you could ask them any question on the planet, what would you ask them? And I now have quite a collection of really good questions to bring to you on the show. So we're starting a series, Questions from Introduction to Music Class, and we'll start right now. I hope that these bring you some joy. I hope they remind you how much fun music can be, because I think especially as we are all living in the crazy of right now, we can sometimes forget what an amazing profession it is to be music educators. We can sometimes get bogged down in the perfection and the product, and this is a great opportunity to remember that music is fun. It's something that brings people together, and there can be some really interesting questions asked about it. So thank you for listening. I hope this brings a smile to your face. Ooh, and before we get started, this episode is brought to you by Kennison Choral Company, the sponsor of the Music Ed Matters podcast. They have some of the best rehearsal tracks, mute tracks, and just all-around tools for us as choral people. You can find information on their website with the link in the episode notes. And be sure to use the Music Matters little coupon code for 20% off your order. Thanks so much, Kennison Choral Company. It's a blast to have you on our team. Without further ado, here we go with a series on questions from Introduction to Music. The Doctor is officially in. Today's questions focus on reading music, how to get started playing instruments, but then also dealing with stage fright, what to do if the world didn't have music, and then I have a couple surprises at the end. Here is question number one.
I guess my question would be is like, is there an easy, like a quick and easy way to learn to read music? I know there are like certain mnemonics that teachers may tell you, but the only one I can remember is FACE or F-A-C-E. But even when I look at notes and music, I still wouldn't right away be able to tell what note is on the paper, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, other than mnemonics, is there an easier way to learn how to read music and determine certain notes?
Every good boy does fine on the lines. F-A-C-E, face, don't you forget it. Those attributes go to quavermusic.com. I actually have an 11th grader in choir right now that learned that song with me in second grade, and that is still to this day how she remembers the names of the lines and the spaces. So there we have it. We have mnemonic devices for remembering what the lines and spaces are of the different clefs, but there's so much more you need to know, and there's a lot of different ways you can learn it these days. There are some fabulous theory courses that you can take. There are some awesome apps that quiz you on it. But it has to go back to, why do you want to learn music? If you want to be able to identify the note names or identify the rhythms and their durations, or if you want to be able to perform because you can read that music, those are different meanings and different purposes. If you just want to understand how music is created and made and written, that's one thing, like reading a language. But if you want to actually perform from that language, be able to sing or play a piano or play another instrument, then that's another way to look at it. I would suggest the first step would be going to YouTube and seeing what beginning things you can find. I know that Jesse Strickland has an awesome YouTube channel called 2-Minute Music Theory and 2-Minute Music History. He offers some great tips for how to get started. There's a ton of people that do courses. I know the Choral Baton with Beth Philemon. She has some great courses to help you out. So there are definitely places you can go, but you have to start with, why do you want to know it? If you just want to know what the note names are and what the durations of the rhythms are, so you can say, oh, that's a half note on the E space or the E line based on what clef you're in, then that's one thing. But there are a lot of different ways that you can learn to read music. You just have to know your why.
if I were to start a band or learn an instrument, would it be easier to read and write the music or try to learn or pick up on things as I go along?
This is also a great question that relates to our first question. If you want to start a band, you have to, again, know why you're doing it. If you're going to be a cover band that is using your ears to play by ear, there isn't a ton of reason to learn how to read music. Or if you're in a band where half your members know how to read and give you the good starting notes or the key to be in, you can learn a lot through ear and through mentorship. My dad, for example, can pick up any instrument on the planet and just play it. I don't know how he does it. He just does. And he can sit down at the piano and just automatically play whatever he's heard. He's so trained orally that he doesn't need to know how to read the music. Although I do remember when I was growing up, we all took piano lessons at the same time, and he was in a book that was at a lower level than me with his music reading skills. No offense, Dad. I'm still super proud of you. He is one of the best musicians I know. But I think that you can start a band and not know how to read music if you're using your resources and if you're not afraid to say, I don't know how to read this. And then once you get the band started, there's a lot of places you can go from there, whether that's taking courses and learning how to read, starting to learn how to read tab. Tab is great and super quick to pick up on. Maybe you learn with a number system. I know a lot of people in the barbershop world don't really learn how to read the music, but they can do the number system like crazy. There's a ton of different directions you can go, but you have to start with your why. Why do you need to read music, and will it make you and your band better? That's the question, and I think it's kind of a personal answer.
Do you think learning how to read music is a pivotal part of learning how to play an instrument?
Again, a great question. I think the more that I hear this question, since it came up so many times in the students, it's also a question that we've heard as we've started an adult choir with Rise. Adults have asked, hey, I can't read music, can I still join the choir? Of course you can. That's what the music teachers and the community organizations exist for. So we can help you succeed. You don't have to come to the table. You don't have to pick up the instrument or come to choir with perfect pitch or already knowing how to read all of the lines and all the spaces and all the durations. You can be successful and not know how to read. It really depends on what you want to get from the experience and your learning style. So I talked about my dad a moment ago. My dad is a really oral learner. He hears it, he does it. It's incredible. I personally need to see, how does the instrument work? What does all of the things say about how to play the instrument? Give me the instructions manual. Let me read all the notes. I'm not going to improvise them at all. But those are our two different learning styles. And I think in order to be successful in whatever instrument that you're choosing to play, you need to know your learning style. One of the projects that I give my students as an option for their final project is to learn how to play an instrument. And the process is so that they can learn what best is their learning style. Some students get a teacher and learn how to play an instrument or sing with a teacher. Some use YouTube. Some get a book and follow through a book. Everybody learns a little bit differently, but in the end, they all perform some song on the instrument that they've selected. And my favorite thing that gets said almost every time when I ask, what did you learn from this project? They usually say something like, I've always wanted to play this, or I've always wanted to do that, and I never had an excuse, but now it's part of a grade, and now I can say that I know how to play guitar, or I know how to play this song on the piano that they've always wanted to play. So it has to go back to your why. What do you want to play on that instrument, and why do you want to play it, and will you be more successful if you are able to read the music or not? That's what it boils down to. And then use your resources, because there's tons of them out there these days.
I have terrifying stage fright. I will not sing in front of anyone. What are some steps I could take to get over that fear and just be confident enough to just do it?
You have to actually just do it. The first way you overcome stage fright is by building up enough experiences and examples and memories of how you got through it to fall back on when you start to get nervous. Now, a little bit of nerves is always a good thing. It means that you care. But I think the first step is just doing it as many times as you can and forcing yourself to get nervous and see what happens and how you push through. The second suggestion, this helps a lot. I actually heard someone talk about it once when I was in my early 20s. What's the worst possible thing that could happen? You might mess up the words. You might sing a wrong note. You might not actually sound as good as you thought you were going to sound. You might miss a cue. But what's the consequence of that? Yes, your ego might get bruised. Yes, there might be a mistake on stage, but no one's going to die because you sang a wrong note. And I think keeping that in perspective, looking at what the worst possible scenario could be, that helps put it in perspective. Number three, someone else once told me this, and it was so helpful, one of my professors in my doctoral degree. Your stage fright is your ego. You have to get out of the way. When you get on that stage, it's not about you, and it's about what is coming from the performance. So for me as a choral person, it's not about me and what my hands look like, but it's about those singers in the choir and the work they've put in. And that concert, that's their chance to shine. And I have to get out of the way. My stage fright is not a thing because it's not about me, it's about them. And you can do that with music too if you're performing by yourself. It's not about you. It's about the experience that the listener is going to have when you bring this music to life. So those are my suggestions. One, get out there and just do it. Two, think about what the worst possible scenario could be. And it's not that bad. It'll be okay. You can bounce back from that. Number three, my dog just weighed in on that one. Number three, get out of the way of your own ego. Make sure that the music is what's shining. I would also recommend that you record yourself as much as possible. One way to really overcome the stage fright is to set up a recording and force yourself to watch it and learn from it. Like these podcast episodes, I can't tell you how many takes I have because I go back and listen and I have to redo it. And that's part of becoming a better performer, and it helps overcome the stage fright. I'm always nervous right before I hit the record button, but I'm slowly but surely getting a little bit better and a little less shaky. So there is always a little bit of stage fright. It means you care. But setting up intentional times to practice and put yourself out there will help you get a little bit less nervous every single time.
My question is, if music was removed from the world, how would you feel?
Devastated. Absolutely, positively, like there is a hole through my soul. Could you imagine if everyone had stage fright like that last question and no one ever put music into the universe again? Holy smokes, I'd be devastated. And I think that that's part of why music is such a big part of my life. Some people use music to get through experiences. We did a mindfulness activity in choir with a special guest who came in to talk about mental health during this time. And one of the things that all the singers said was that they used music to get through tough times or to get their energy boosted or to wake up if they were feeling tired. Music can do so much more than just entertain. It can be a part of your everyday. So if music was removed from the world, I would be devastated because I think the world would be oh so quiet and oh so boring. But I also think we'd be missing out on a lot of culture. Stop and think for a second how much culture is passed on through music. Could you imagine if we didn't have that stuff to pass it on? Music's amazing, in case you didn't know. Speaking of amazing music, I have a very interesting question coming your way. Here you go.
I've always been like a huge Britney Spears fan. And so I would actually like to know more about her musical process and how she actually develops her songs, what inspires certain songs, things like that. I would like to know why she writes the songs she writes, if that makes any sense.
Never did I ever think I'd be asked a question on Britney Spears, but here we go. Things that I know about Britney, just because I'm a child of the 90s. She is a performer dancer who has been in the spotlight for a very long time. According to the different VH1 Meet the Episode star things that I watched growing up, she started talent shows when she was really young, maybe 2 or 6 or 8 or something like that. And she was always a big performer. She wanted to be in New York and went to New York and did some small roles there before snagging the coveted all Mickey new Mickey Mouse Club thing, the Mickey Mouse Club with Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera. And of course, there was drama in the 90s on who was better, Britney or Christina, and you had to choose a camp because, you know, that's what you do in middle school. Anyway, back to Britney. Britney got her first album released in 1999. She was with Jive Records, and that's when she released Hit Me Baby One More Time. And if you remember back to 99, it was super controversial because of the music video that came out with it, and she was kind of a provocative schoolgirl. She might have been all of like 16 at the time of recording, but that provocative nature that told these stories of a young girl growing up is kind of what made her so famous. She had Hit Me Baby One More Time, Oops, I Did It Again. She eventually started dating Justin Timberlake, and you know, that helped everything. And eventually she kind of fell out of the limelight. She had some issues with other relationships and some kids, but she did come back with a couple of pop-infused albums in the mid-2000s-ish, and they think that she's kind of returned to her quote-unquote roots, although I did some digging to figure out what were her roots, and it seemed like she had a lot of collaboration with her producers and her songwriters, and that it was really a whole image that Britney was making. So that's my take after doing some digging and researching into what it is to be Britney. I am not her and I did not talk to her, so I don't know exactly why. I did go explore her TikTok and her Instagram. Wow. But to answer the question that has been asked, it seems that Britney is just a lover of performing, and she really enjoys performing, and that's how she got from Louisiana to New York and onto the Mickey Mouse Club stage and then eventually getting her own album. It's because she seriously just loved to perform, to sing and to dance, and that her music offered a lot of hours of singing and dancing fun for a lot of people. And hopefully that helps answer your question. On to the next one.
What is one thing you wish you would have known before starting your career?
Ooh, that's a doozy of a question as well. I think there's a lot of things we all wish we would have known before starting our career. I think I wish I would have known that I didn't have to be perfect the very first second of teaching and performing and doing life, that I didn't have to have it all figured out at 22 years old. I was really lucky to have some fabulous mentors in my professional life, both musically and business-wise and spiritually, and I think that helped a lot. But if there was one thing I would wish I could know, it's that it doesn't matter if you get straight A's. What matters is, did you take the knowledge that you learned and apply it to where you're going or where you want to go? It doesn't matter if every project is perfect and that one professor is pleased with your product. Are you pleased with your product? Because you are the only you there is, and it really only matters that you're doing your best. I wish I would have known that I didn't have to compete with anyone else but myself, and that every step I took every day could be my own individual, unique step, reaching for my own goals. So if you're listening and you are in school or you're doing something, know that it's important to learn everything you need to learn in your degree programs. But as you're learning it, be truthful to who you want to be, where you want to go, what your goals and your dreams are, and find ways to keep that knowledge applied and to use those skills to start down that path. But don't be afraid to switch directions, to not be perfect, to make mistakes. Just do something every day that helps you get to the person you want to be. There you have it. The doctor is in. The first in a series of questions from my introduction to music class. I hope that these have made you smile. I hope it's been fun. It's been fun talking through it. Again, this episode is brought to you by Kinnison Choral Company, and you can get an awesome 20% discount by putting Music Matters in the coupon code at checkout. They are awesome people, and they have tools and resources to help you learn music if you're trying to overcome stage fright or learn a piece of music for your band. I bet they could help. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. As always, what you are doing, it matters. Obviously, music matters. And I will see you next time on Music Matters.